First, we recently received a listener question from our new Why Sconson project. This comes from Dave Van in Madison. Here's a listen.
Why is it so hard to get people to be excited or interested in joining the police force in Madison? Because there appears to be a stark lack of them. You know, with the rash of vandalism and car thefts in Madison lately, I feel like people have been concerned about the feeling of public safety. And to top that all off, I think there's just been this growing sense of resentment nationally towards the police.
We wanted to tackle the issue of police recruitment, and we started right at the source of that question. Earlier today, we talked to Madison Police Department's acting chief, Victor Wall. Chief Wall, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We had a listener ask us about police recruiting. He started by saying that he perceives a lack of police presence around Madison. Can you talk about the current size of the department and how that translates to visibility?
Well, they're kind of two separate issues a little bit. In terms of recruitment, that speaks to what sort of applicant pool we're attracting, but not necessarily our authorized strength. Our authorized strength these days is 483 sworn officers this year. We've been making the case for a number of years, and I will continue to make the case that as the city grows in population and geographically, and as our workload grows daily, our staffing needs to keep up with that if we want to continue to provide the kind of service that our community expects. And I think we're falling a little bit behind, and I think one of the ways that manifests itself is through visibility, because our officers have less and less free time to just do patrol or get out on foot and walk through neighborhoods, because they're spending all their time on calls and incidents, and they just don't have that flexibility that we'd like them to have.
Getting to the recruiting side of things, I've heard for other departments around the state and the country, they're reporting having trouble. You know, they're not getting the numbers of recruits or applicants that they used to. What are you seeing in Madison?
Well, we definitely have not been immune to that, and we have definitely seen the number of applicants that we're receiving decline. In fact, if you compare the last few years during our hiring processes, what we've seen, it's about a third of what we were seeing 10 years ago. So we're not immune to that, and certainly that's a national trend. I think the good news as far as we're concerned is that even though we're getting smaller pools, we're still getting large enough pools where we have qualified applicants and good people that we feel real confident about hiring and training and bringing on to the department. Certainly there's places in the country and departments where they can't even attract qualified applicants to fill their vacancies, and we're a long ways from that. But certainly the larger pool of applicants we have, I think, the better. So I would like to see us reverse that trend, or at least sort of try to inch things back in the direction that they were.
What do you see as some of the reasons that might lead to that smaller applicant pool?
Well, I think it's a little bit complicated. I think certainly the national narrative on policing over the last, 5 years or so has been largely negative. And I think that impacts people. I think sort of the heightened scrutiny that police officers are coming under these days makes it a challenge. And I think there's people that don't want that sort of stress, don't want to be concerned about being on the front page of the newspaper or being sort of the next, YouTube social media sensation for doing their job. I think that's a piece of it. Certainly one thing that has always, I think, impacted police hiring, and it's kind of cyclical, is just how the rest of the economy is doing. And certainly we've had a pretty strong economy tying along this narrative over the last 5 years, and that gives people a lot of other opportunities for employment. And I think, those to me seem like the two major drivers that are affecting us here locally and the rest of the field nationally.
If you were talking to a younger person thinking about their career options, what would you say to them to encourage at least considering a career as a police officer?
Well, I would say, this is a job where not only can you make a difference, but you will make a difference. We just had a retirement celebration last week where I was speaking to probably about 300 years of collective experience for a number of our retirees, and really highlighting to them that they'll probably never even have a good comprehension of how many lives they positively impacted during their career. Certainly the big calls, the big incidents will stick out in our minds, but you know, it's easy to forget that a routine encounter for us is not necessarily routine to the community member we're dealing with. And to be able to have those positive impacts over the course of your career, to literally save lives and to literally be able to improve your community, is something that not a lot of jobs offer those opportunities. And so I think, you know, we're looking for people that really have a calling to serve and want to make those differences and have an impact. And, you know, it's an opportunity that policing provides.
Chief Wald, thanks a lot for taking the time today.
Happy to.
That was Acting Chief of the Madison Police Department, Victor Wall. To continue the conversation, we wanted to talk more about policing and recruitment around the state. Jim Palmer is in the studio, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Calvin Barrett is also in the studio with us, law enforcement instructor at Madison College. Calvin, thanks a lot for coming up.
Thank you for having me.
Jim, let's start with you. Are we seeing this around the state? Are we having a problem finding enough applicants for these police department jobs?
You know, we are. As the state's largest law enforcement group, we represent the vast majority of officers in the state. And so I have the opportunity to travel around and interact with our officers on a statewide basis. And one of the things I hear most consistently is that agencies are having a difficult time getting a sufficient number of applicants, where, you know, much like Chief Wall just described, you know, they used to get several hundred, you know, applicants for one position. Now they're lucky if they can get, you know, one applicant for one vacancy.
And Calvin, we'll get into some of the negatives in a bit, but you work with people who have already made the decision to pursue a career in law enforcement. What are the positives you hear from them about why they want to pursue this as a career?
They see it just like everyone else, and like what Chief Wall discussed, as an opportunity for a positive change and a positive implementation of a good perspective of law enforcement and the ability to make a positive change in people's lives from a day-to-day basis. And that's really one of the best things. That wearing a badge and being a law enforcement officer is something that is one of the greatest things. I wear a badge currently now, and it's something that we all look forward to, and we all wake up every morning excited for the opportunity to be that positive role model in everyone's lives.
Now, there's a lot of competition out there. It's a tight labor market. Do you see that affecting people's decisions maybe to go through this program or not?
Yes. There's always competition is good, but I think if people have the right motives and the right ideas and their heart is in the right place. Our motto at Madison College is, if you were doing things the right way and for the right reasons, great things will come. And I think once we take that approach and we get, you know, applicants in that are doing that, things go in the right direction.
Jim, do you see departments doing things differently to try to reach out to more people, maybe people who wouldn't have thought of this as a career in the past?
Absolutely. I think, you know, in particular, more and more agencies in Wisconsin, and you know, this is happening in Wisconsin more than I see in other states, is they're using social media in order to try and reach out to this, you know, younger millennial demographic. There's also, you know, our local unions that are affiliated with us, working with their agencies to, you know, kind of take care of some of the quality of life issues. You know, like, you know, are there things we can do to experiment with 10 or 12 hour shifts so officers are getting more time away from the job? And, you know, more and more agencies throughout the, not only Wisconsin, but throughout the country are, you know, relaxing their policies that prohibit things like beards and tattoos. And, you know, it might sound kind of silly, but, you know, even Scotland Yard and the Air Force have been, you know, eliminating those practices. So it clearly it's, you know, there's an effort, a concerted effort, to reach out to a younger demographic and bring them into this profession and into this calling.
I hear in a lot of lines of work these days, everything from farming to skilled work, all kinds of things. Baby boomers are leaving the workforce. Is that part of the story here in police departments?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, baby boomers and you know, officers obviously retire at an earlier age than a lot of other employees because, you know, there are public policy reasons for that, of course. You know, younger people today entering the job market, they have a lot of other choices, career options available to them that are less dangerous, that don't, you know, aren't confronted with the same degree of public scrutiny. And obviously they can probably pay more money as well. So no one enters the profession, I think, to, you know, become rich. They do it really because, as Calvin said, it's a calling and it's something that they are, you know, genuinely committed to.
And Calvin, that public scrutiny issue, do you hear from your students that you're working with that they're worried about what they see in the news as far as how police officers are portrayed.
Yes, that's one of the main concerns, especially with our younger officers that are coming through. The scrutiny is something that is on the back of everyone's mind, especially with social media and the media really sticking to a lot of the negative incidents that involve law enforcement. I see this too in the academy, where students are really looking for more of a right or wrong or a black or white type response to a handful of situations. And we tell them in law enforcement, there's really not that. There's a lot of gray area that deals with articulation and what you felt and what you saw at that moment, which really dictates right from wrong.
Now, police work does get oversight, and I think a lot of people would agree that it needs some kind of oversight. How do you thread the needle, Jim, between appropriate oversight from a police and fire commission and from the public and the media versus overweening public scrutiny?
Well, I think transparency and accountability for law enforcement is very important. I mean, it's of paramount importance for officers in order to do their jobs and be safe doing those jobs to maintain the trust and credibility of the public. And, having, effective accountability measures like we do here in Wisconsin, we have a police and fire commissions. They've existed in this state for over 100 years, and we're one of the few, I think one of 20 states that has such a oversight model, civilian oversight model. So it's very, very important, and it protects officers and kind of balances the interests of the public and those that have to serve them.
We're talking to Jim Palmer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, and Calvin Barrett, a law enforcement instructor at Madison College. We're talking about recruitment and retention of officers in Madison and around Wisconsin. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work in law enforcement yourself, or are you retired? What do you think about public perception of the job? Do you see people going into it? What would you tell them about that decision to go into police work as a member of the public? What do you think? What do you see in your local police department? Do you want more visibility in your part of the state? What questions do you have for our guests who work on these issues? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up that conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we pick up on a conversation about police recruiting, retention, and public perception. This comes from a Wisconsin question from a listener. Earlier, we talked to Madison Police Department's Acting Chief Victor Wall. Our guests now are Jim Palmer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, and Calvin Barrett, who teaches law enforcement at Madison College. You can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. What do you think about how the public views and scrutinizes police officers? Do you have a question about what it's like to work in law enforcement and the training that goes into it? Do you now, or have you ever worked in law enforcement yourself? Love to hear your perspective on this conversation. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Jim, I know we've talked to you in the past about efforts you've made with, in some cases, unlikely partners to try to bridge the gap between communities and police departments. Is that part of the story? Do we need more of that to kind of change the perception that people have of the police?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, as we're actually just about to go to into the field with our eighth annual poll, statewide poll that we conduct with the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Center. And, we gauge the public's opinion on a wide variety of criminal justice and law enforcement related topics. We want to gauge their perception, how they feel about, officers and the jobs that they're doing and what law enforcement's priorities ought to be. And then we use that as a foundation to kind of go around the state and engage in a dialogue. And, we've really found that to be, hugely beneficial for us as an organization, the only state law enforcement group in the country that does this. But it gives us the ability to play a more proactive role in driving, the discourse, the public discourse. And I think more of that is critically needed, and there needs to be a greater dialogue.
And Calvin, I understand you're in Madison at Madison College, but you don't just work with people training to be police officers in Madison. Right. What do you hear from people around the state in different kinds of communities about how they think of police work?
Well, we at Madison College see people from all over, from different counties, surrounding counties, as well as all over the southern part of the state. And the overall consensus is that you know, it's a great field to be in. It's a great field that they want to come in, and it's an opportunity to make change and do great things. But their only hesitation a lot of times comes in whether or not they have a specific police type background. And what we want everyone to know is that you do not specifically need a police background. You don't need a criminal justice degree in order to do that. We accept and train people from all walks that start with, you know, that are, that range from stay-at-home fathers all the way up to teachers, to social workers, to mathematicians, whatever that is. We just want good quality, hardworking people, and that's what we're looking to train and hire.
Let's bring on a caller now. Dan is with us in Monona. Dan, hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Dan?
Well, it's just my dad always used to say how police used to be your friend, and like it changed that now when you look in your rearview mirror, you cringe like you're going to be in trouble. You check to see if you're doing anything wrong. And, you know, if anything, I hope you don't lower standards to get more police. If you, anything, I think the psychology tests or anything need to be tougher.
Dan, thanks for the call. So a couple points there. First, that the perception we're only going to encounter a police officer if we're doing something wrong. I know you've got surveys, and a lot of the surveys show a lot of people feel very positively about the police, Jim. But is that out there, that perception like, uh-oh?
I think it is. I mean, you know, law enforcement's a unique profession in that an officer can do something that is, you know, really questionable or, you know, blatantly wrong in California. And you know, it somehow, to some extent, is attributed to an officer here in Madison or anywhere in Wisconsin. There are a few professions that you know, have to endure that kind of thing. You know, with regard to Dan's question or comment about lowering standards, that is something we're seeing in other states. You know, they're lowering standards, making it easier for officers or for people to become officers. And that's something that, you know, we feel strongly, against. We just don't. We want to maintain the high level of standards and do what we can to draw more people into the profession. And that's why, you know, Madison College and their efforts to kind of reach out to younger people, even at the high school level, is so critically important to, you know, get people interested at an earlier age.
Thanks for that call, Dan. And Calvin, I wanted to ask before we go back to callers, I think in the past, people thinking of themselves as police officers, they might do it if they're men. Do you see things opening up more and more over the years for women interested in policing?
Absolutely. We welcome it, and that is something that it's a perspective that we really haven't seen in the history of law enforcement is the perspective of a woman. And that's something that we encourage and that we want and that we are starting to see the numbers, especially in our academy, start to rise. I mean, it's not as even as 50-50, but we are definitely starting to see more women be interested in the field because they do bring a unique perspective to law enforcement, which is something that might not have had the voice in the past.
Let's go to another caller now. Jennifer is with us in Appleton. Jennifer, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I respect police officers a lot. My father was a police officer. The only problem I have around where I live is the city of Appleton is actually split by another police office. And the one that is involved mostly with car accidents that I have been into, and the recent one that I had, was basically the officer really didn't take my statement. He actually sided with the other man. I was crying because of what he was doing and calling me. But the officer came up to me within 1 minute and asked me, you know, what had happened, and I told him. And then he gave me a card and said, you know, give this to your insurance. Go on this website. And basically what happened was I read the report. It was probably about, I don't know, 4 sentences long, if that.
Jennifer, thanks for the call. We can't get too much into your particular story there. That said, Calvin, how do you train officers to deal with a very difficult situation? People are possibly injured, at the very least shaken up in a situation like this. What do you tell people who might be responding to that accident?
Well, from a training standpoint, number one, we want to make sure that the safety of the scene and the safety of everyone there is secure first. Secondly, we want to ensure that when we contact people, we are always fair and impartial in regards to how we conduct investigations. We don't take sides. We take all of the facts as they're presented. We corroborate the statements with the evidence of the scene and with other witness statements. And from there, we make a decision based off of if there were law violations. sides. So it's a very difficult job when you have two people kind of saying, contradicting the same things. But again, the evidence and independent witness statements really go into us making a good, sound decision in regards to violations of the law.
Jennifer, thanks for that call. Sorry you went through that accident. I hope you're doing okay now. Time for another caller. Joan is with us in Watertown. Joan, hi.
Hi. I just remember about 4 years ago, I think it was, in the Madison State Journal, there was an article, I wish I would have saved it, because it talked all about how there was some kind of a police chief that came here from Canada, and he was spreading this idea around to the police forces across the nation about how the police should start being more forceful when, you know, in their strategy, that they should, it was sort of a shoot first, ask questions later kind of a strategy, or to shoot to kill. And I wish I would have saved that article.
Joan, thanks for the call. We just got a minute or so left. Different philosophies in policing. I'm not familiar with that particular one, Jim.
Nor am I. As someone who represents officers when they use force, the last thing we want is a policy that encourages them to use the most force. Officers need to use the force that's necessary given the circumstances and given their perceptions, as Calvin mentioned a few minutes ago.
Hey, Calvin, just 40 seconds or so, what would you say, as I asked the Madison acting police chief, what would you say to that person thinking, maybe law enforcement, I don't know?
I would say to that person to please come out. If there's anything, if you have any questions, please contact me at Madison College. We're actually having a criminal justice career fair April 21st at Madison College. And come out. There'll be agencies from all over the state here to talk and to get resumes and really get a great opportunity to talk to people that are interested in it. So please come out. Please contact me. I can answer any questions, concerns, or comments that you have at any time. Thank you.
Calvin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
And Jim, thanks for coming up.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Jim Palmer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, and Calvin Barrett, a law enforcement instructor at Madison College. We also heard earlier from Madison Police Department Acting Chief Victor Wall. We talked to them today about questions of police officer recruitment and retention and how the public perceives and looks at police work. This comes from an audience question as part of the Why Wisconsin Project. Do you have a question about anything in Wisconsin? Submit it to WPR.org/WhyWisconsin.